Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to another show, episode number 48. 2017 season is in the books.
Woo!
I am Crew Chief Tony, along with Brandon Crowd, the professor. How you doing, B?
What's up, sir? Good to have you back.
Thank you, man. It's good Welcome. To be back, dude.
Number 162,000 trips to Las Vegas, Nevada for you.
79,
that's
man.
That's nuts, man. That's crazy.
It is totally nuts, yeah.
It's out of control.
Yeah.
Oh, what a weekend, man.
Lots of good racing. You know what's cool? It's just, you know, it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and this is it. I mean, all the marbles. I mean, these guys, every trick they had in the book, it's all out there. Pretty
yeah.
good stuff.
I tell you, this has been the most interesting season for me because of this podcast. Like, it has added an entire different level.
I'm into it about 80% more than I was last year, and I didn't know that was possible.
Right, yeah, exactly. You know. Lindsay apparently knows that's possible. Because she is. Oh, you want to talk about someone happy that this season is over? Woo! Lindsay is more than thrilled to have a... She goes, I forgot what you look like.
Well, all right then.
Well, that's best. She was disappointed after that, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she's like, gosh, all right, you can go back.
Damn, you can go back. Just go.
Tony, you know, before we get into it real quick, mile and a half season finale?
I'm not feeling it, man.
Could we reevaluate that?
Man, I just... You know, what 10 cars finished on the lead lap?
It's felt like it.
That's it.
It's around there. It literally might have been.
Like 10 or 12, something like that.
Yeah.
And so you either had the aero package or you didn't, and I don't know what else to tell everybody else.
Seriously. Yeah. Tony, did you do anything else over the weekend?
I'll be honest with you. It's just good to be home, right? Like, I'm not living out of a suitcase for once. And I went grocery shopping, like, Thursday night. And I planted my happy ass on the couch. I was there, man. Like Sunday, my son made me leave the house.
Nice.
Like, you got to get out and go do something,
right,
Dad. Like,
right before the race?
Go do anything. Yeah. Just leave, please.
Nice. So Friday night, we went and saw Kathleen Madigan with our neighbors that we haven't hung out with in a while.
Very funny.
She's hysterical. And then after... the race, or after the show, we went to the bar, which literally was right when the race was starting, and I got them to put the truck race on in Royal Oak, of all places. Go figure, they put a race on
me.
Yeah,
wow.
I know.
That's
I was shocked.
Kathleen Madigan cracks me up. She's got a bit about I think it's Southern Illinois University, and on their like in their recruiting packet,
yeah,
it's ample parking. She's like, really?
That's your draw.
That's a draw. We have ample parking, you know?
So. One of my favorite bits with her is that, you know, she's Irish Catholic, right? And so...
Wait, Madigan?
Yeah.
Is Irish Catholic?
I know. It's crazy, right? So joking about like Baptists and Christians always talking about reading the Bible. And her response is, oh, honey, I'm sorry. We're Catholic. We don't read the Bible. We read the bulletin. We're more concerned about what's for lunch than what happened there. We pay a guy to do that for us.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly.
Tony, you got anything coming up for Thanksgiving? What do you guys?
Man, I'm laying low. It's an off week. You know, I'm finally off the road and, I'm just going to lay low with me and my kids.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
What about you?
What do you guys got going on in the crowd, fam?
So tradition for the last probably 5, 6, 7 years is to go to the Lions game for Thanksgiving.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So
we went last year.
Yeah. Yeah. You and Logan came.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we are going to head down there. We'll throw a small little bird in the crock pot before we leave. And we don't see any family on Thanksgiving because we host down here in the NASCAR Man Cave becomes the Griswold holiday.
Christmas cave.
Yes, for Christmas. We host both families on Christmas. So we take a break from the family on Thanksgiving. So, and as you can see, it's quite festive down here.
It's already got, how many Christmas trees do you have? Top two?
Two Christmas trees. Lights are up,
garland everything everywhere.
Smells like a freaking pine tree down here.
It does smell like a pine tree. But yeah, not so bad. That's good stuff.
Tony, we got a stacked show today, man.
We do.
We've got a very cool dude's going to call in here in a little bit from CBS Sports, Matt Mayer, who's we've gotten to know a little bit on social media.
Yeah, really nice guy.
And Tony, I am so excited. I wanted somebody from the weekend to come on, and I knew we weren't going to get any of the champions. Like, that just wasn't going to happen. I know that. But, you know, we had Cole Custer on a couple weeks over the summer.
Yep.
And so I reached out, and literally last night, like 9:30, PR rep sent an email.
It was 9:42.
9:40. That's right. It was 9:42. Confirmed. Yep. We're all good tomorrow. I'm like, hell yeah. I'm so excited. Wanted to get it. Cole's awesome.
Cole is a great guy.
And man, that race he ran, man.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
He opened, man, he tore the can off. I mean, ripped the lid right off a can of whoop ass.
He did, yeah.
And man, he was really running good.
Yes, yes. So, Tony, I think we got Matt calling in. You ready?
That's him.
Let's see what he has to say.
All right, joining us on the line here, Lap Traffic, is the NASCAR writer and videographer for CBS Sports, Matt Mayer. How you doing, Matt?
What's going on, guys? Happy to be here.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming on.
It's a good year.
Yeah, man. Oh, my God. It's been great. 2017, Martin Truex Jr. as a champion. And my first year covering the sport. I'm happy to be on the podcast, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. And, you know, and it was one of those things, you know, obviously Truex was the man all year. And it was one of those things like, man, you know, I'm a Brad Keselowski guy. Brandon is a Kevin Harvick fan. Right, exactly. Kevin Harvick fan. But, like, it would have almost been criminal if Martin Truex didn't win.
It wouldn't have.
You know
felt
what I mean?
Right.
It just would not have felt right. So, what was the scene? What was the scene there?
Well, the scene was really about Dale Jr., to be honest with you.
Sure.
Martin Truex Jr. had a heck of a season, right? He had 8 wins, including the one at Homestead, and it looked like he was going to win it all season. And given that the favorites won in the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series with Christopher Bell and William Byron, you know, you almost felt like Truex was going to get it done on Sunday, too, just if you were going off of everything else. But, like, being down there, it was so much fun. Like, our office is located down in Fort Lauderdale for CBS Sports, so I got to drive down there, and the folks at NASCAR did an amazing job taking care of us, helping us with everything. And that being said, like I said, it was all about Dale Jr., standing ovations left and right, driver's meetings, to being the last car off pit road, intros, and even after the race, it was all Dale Jr. I mean, the fans were going nuts. There were people with guitars that were shaped out of the 88. Like, this was the most unbelievable. I was driving out of the race afterwards, and there was, like, an old Chevy Monte Carlo, and it was painted in the Budweiser scheme with an 8. Like, that is just the tribute that people had there. And then the other thing I like seeing on the weekend as well was a little bit of a tribute to Matt Kenseth, because it was one of those things this whole season where we were like, well, what's going to happen with Matt Kenseth? Like, he's good enough to drive. What's going to happen? And to see the track show him some love on some short notice was pretty cool. And driver's intros, I don't think we saw it on TV, but when they went through the starting lineup, they, you know, they did everyone, and they did Denny Hamlin on the pole, but they skipped Kenseth. And at the very end, they gave him his own little tribute, and it was a special moment for them. And seeing his throwback car alongside Junior's was pretty cool, too. And I guess while we're breaking down the scene, I might as well talk about Danica, too. I don't really think her farewell was this past weekend at Homestead. Obviously, there were fans there cheering her on and supporting, but I think that big glamorous goodbye is going to be coming at Daytona. It's only fitting, too, because her biggest career success has been at that track, and given her contribution to the sport, I'd love to see her get a strong one. I mean, heck, I think anyone who's on the way out the door should be having that red carpet rolled out for him.
No, I agree, but you know what's one of the things with Matt Kenseth is you never felt like, all right, something's coming, right? You know, there's something in the works. We just haven't heard about it yet. And then just with a week or two left, he's like, no, there is no deal. And so it was like kind of, I don't know, it took some wind out of my sails, but it was kind of a strange deal. But so walk us through your role, CBS. Tell us about what you do there.
Sure. I'm in a pretty unique situation here at CBS Sports. In addition to writing NASCAR, I serve as a video producer. So basically that entails covering all sports, football, baseball, other sports, MMA, and even WWE. We actually have a really good guy, Brian Campbell, who covers WWE and MMA over here.
Okay. All right. Hold on. I did not know this. We're talking after the show. I am a diehard WWE guy.
I didn't know that anybody over the age of 12 watched WWE. I swear to God I didn't.
I'm not a huge WWE fan. But at the same time, I appreciate the sport. I guess we can call it a sport, but it's really just reality TV that people like to enjoy.
100%.
I really enjoy WWE. It's something that we talk about over here all the time. And, so to keep on that, I help at CBS Sports. I produce videos. We get into the site and we plug them into stories, which is really cool because it provides that opportunity for our audience over at CBS to not only read the great content that our writers are putting out there, but as they're doing that experience, they have a video relevant to watch and listen to along the way.
That's awesome. So, you know, tying in with that in your role with CBS, you know, when we think about NASCAR coverage, you know, really the two main powerhouses are Fox and NBC. You know, ESPN's kind of shifted their focus away from NASCAR. What is CBS doing from a content perspective with NASCAR? Are they looking to increase? What's the tie with CBS and NASCAR?
Well, the world has really changed, and I think the tie with CBS and NASCAR is going back into NASCAR's, you know, history, the creation from 1960 to, what, 2000? NASCAR was that NBC. CBS was that NBC, was that Fox for NASCAR coverage. But, you know, things happen, contracts happen and what it is, but we're trying to appeal to the gamers, right? And a lot of people who come over to CBS Sports are in for our fantasy football coverage. We have some of the best guys, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, Heath Cummings. The list goes on and on for fantasy football. So our strategy is to track those kind of fans, the bettors. So we're going to be putting out picks, odds, and whatever that is. And it's all about hitting casual sports fans, right? At the same time, however, we want NASCAR nuts and gearheads and people who know the sport as well, just everyone coming together, right? So we do our best, much like you guys, in getting interviews with top drivers in the Cup Series and getting to know them as people rather than drivers. You know, having that ability to connect with those drivers with other sports fans, it's not only huge for our coverage, but also for the growth of the sport, in my opinion, because if you think about it, like, you got people like Danica Patrick and Dale Earnhardt Jr. who together didn't win a whole ton of races. I mean, Junior won more than your average driver, but it's the star power that they bring. So our job here necessarily is also, in addition to giving you the highlights, it's also, you know, bringing out the star power in those younger guys.
That's awesome.
And
that's really
cool.
There's
lots of star power coming up.
Oh, a ton of star power. Man, when you look at the trucks, and I think in the standings in the top 10, six were rookies. I mean, it's...
Yeah, we have Cole Custer coming on in a little while. He just won his first race. He's 19. William Byron, rookie. You know, he's got rookie stripes, and he won the series.
Yep. So you were at Homestead this weekend. You talked to us a little bit about it. What what was the feeling like in the garage about the season and about the sport itself outside of Junior and all of the retirement announcements and things of that nature? Did you get a feel of what the direction is for 2018, or did you get a feel, you know, something hit you or anything like that?
Right. Well, I think it's kind of been hitting us all season. We're in a really unique situation in that we have, like, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, Bubba Wallace, William Byron, the list goes on and on. And these guys are going to be the faces of this sport for years and years and years to come. And it's only fitting that it happened in the year that we lose Dale Earnhardt Jr., Danica Patrick, Matt Kenseth. I mean, we're not losing Kurt Busch, but we could lose Kurt Busch. Like, things along those lines. And we have Jeff Gordon, who's out the door recently, Tony Stewart. Like, thank the Lord that we have these guys coming up and through the ranks. And some of them are NASCAR names. I mean, Chase Elliott, Bill Elliott, Ryan Blaney, Dave Blaney. Like, we have a lot of folks here that have NASCAR in their blood. So I think that's a really good transition. And the other thing that I don't think gets talked about enough is stage racing. I'll be the first to tell you, man, like, when I first started covering NASCAR, even before I started covering NASCAR as a fan, I was the most skeptical person in the world regarding these rule changes. And I'm sure a lot of the fans were as well. I actually hated it. I remember going on Twitter before I even started covering the sport: stage racing is going to ruin NASCAR. I was wrong. I was dead wrong. Seeing it, I think stage racing was an unbelievable addition. And when we're talking about the casual fans, like we do here over at CBS Sports, they really will start to understand it eventually. And that will break the stigma that NASCAR is just cars driving around in circles and to the left, whatever it is. The way that stage racing is set up, I think, is very understandable for a lot of fans, and I'm excited to see how that goes in the future.
Yeah. So that's something that we talked about here, is it gives me a reason to watch lap number 80 to 90. Because there, you know, it's 10 to go in that stage, and these guys are grinding and out trying to get every point that they can. Where otherwise, if it was lap 80 of 320, I think I would walk by and go do something else for a little while and come back, right? So I think it brought a lot to. Yeah, right? Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely.
At the same time, it's a natural break in the middle of the race, too. So it doesn't hurt the concessions in the way that people are going to walk away. You go, oh, we're at the stage break. Everyone's going to use the restroom, going to go buy ourselves a beer, do whatever we're going to do. So, for an attendance standpoint, it actually helps there, too, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree entirely. Yeah, so let me ask you this. So what was the coolest thing you got to do, or maybe the coolest person that you got to meet during this last year?
Well, first of all, I'm just going to go back to Homestead this past weekend, because I've met so many really, really cool people along the way. You guys are some of the coolest people I've met along the way as well. But as far as this past weekend's gone, Jeff Gluck, man, like Jeff Gluck, that dude is a saint. I'm sure you're familiar with his story, but just hearing it firsthand about how he's doing what he does for the love of the sport, like that really inspired me. Like I'll always remember like how friendly he was and showing me around the track and getting me involved in the tweet up. And speaking of the tweet up, I mean, that was really cool. Like interacting with the fans, some of which I've been conversing on with on Twitter with for months. I mean, I met two guys after the race too. One was named Jeff and the other Matt. They're local to South Florida like myself. And they build guitars, like I mentioned earlier, a tribute to the driver. So these guys had Dale Jr., Chase Elliott themed guitars. They were talking about, I think they were going to make a number 9 Chase Elliott one next year. And they were just, they were chilling on Victory Lane, like after the race, just letting people hold them, take pictures. Like that's what I think NASCAR is all about, right? Like the passion from these fans, second to none, the patriotism, got people taking pictures with guitars and tributing to their driver. Like that doesn't happen anywhere else. Maybe college football, but that really doesn't happen anywhere else. So to answer your question, I think Jeff Gluck was probably one of the coolest people I got to meet in person and interacting with the fans, honestly.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. No, we talk about it all the time. Racing community. It is a community. And the camaraderie is just unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of tweet-ups, we kind of co-host the MIS tweet-up in June and August. So you should definitely make sure you come up to at least one of the Michigan races next year.
I'm sure Kyle Larson will get another win up there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know how crazy it was? This is like we talked before we went on the air, but how crazy it was? This is our first year. We're at MIS in August and people are asking us for autographs. Like, I don't even believe this is happening right now.
That was not real life, let me tell you.
Yeah, right? Like, we just gave them a shirt and they want us to sign it. I'm like, I just devalued something that was free. You know? Like.
So what was your thought? You like the stage racing and all that. What's exciting you most about 2018?
I think it's Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, Bubba Wallace, William Byron, those guys. I'm excited to get away from the farewell talk and who's gone. Like after Daytona, right, we're gonna lose Danica Patrick. And then after that's over, it's gonna be about Chase Elliott. It's gonna be about Ryan Blaney. It's gonna be about Bubba Wallace. It's gonna be about William Byron, Christopher Bell, all those guys coming up through the ranks. Like I'm excited for the next generation of NASCAR. And it's not like Dale Jr. is going anywhere. I mean, he's going to the Bronx. So we're still gonna have the guy around the sport. We still have Jeff Gordon around the sport. Tony Stewart's an owner. So these guys are still around, but now the focus is gonna be on these younger guys, which I think is what NASCAR's needed this whole time.
I like that. That's a good point. It's a real good point.
Yeah, no, I agree. So is there, speaking of that, all the transition, everything, is there anything that's happened in the silly season here that's really surprised you?
I mean, we talked about him a little bit earlier, but Matt Kenseth, the guy out there each and every week competing for wins. His car's always on TV. You'd think he'd be able to generate the sponsorship money. But, I mean, he's coming from a big era of contract, so I guess he wasn't able to lock something up. And then you have Danica, who made her announcement, but she looked like she wasn't ready to step away from the sport. But money talks, man. That's just how it goes. And then another surprise for me was 150% Kyle Larson. For this guy to come out of not necessarily nowhere, because he is one of those good drivers, but he drove well all year and he won as many races as he did. And then going and doing the dirt tracks. And then he was a huge surprise. And then on another end of the spectrum in surprise mode with Kyle Larson, he surprised us all in the playoffs getting knocked out. No one expected the guy to get knocked out when he did. I mean, just when you thought he was done too at Homestead last week, he goes on a tear and wins the first couple stages. I mean, yeah. It looked to me like this guy is such a good guy. I think, listen, I don't know exactly what Kyle Larson was planning on those last few laps, but it looked to me from the press box like the guy was holding off to let Truex and Busch go at it.
There's absolutely no question about it, Matthew. You're exactly right, man. If you saw it, like there was like 4 or 5 laps to go, he got such a run off the top. He hit Kyle Busch so hard that I was waiting for the hood on his car to buckle.
Yeah.
He was way faster, but he didn't want to get in the middle of him and let him go.
At that moment, and that's something too, like karma always goes a long way. So if there's a situation, you never know how the 78 team is going to go going forward. Like they had a miraculous season, but up until this year, they didn't really do too much. So we get them into a situation where next year maybe they're not in the championship and he returns the favor. So it's one of those things that I really like seeing what Kyle Larson did on those last few laps. And I think he's just a really, really good guy. And he's going to be a guy who's going to be a face of the sport that maybe we didn't expect him to be.
Absolutely.
No, I agree. We've been talking about him for a couple of years. Yep. We saw him at Eldora well, in the truck series, what was it, two years ago? Something, man, he put on a clinic. He definitely got our attention.
Yep.
There's no question that man has a lot of talent.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, hey, Matt, tell all our listeners where they can give you a follow and stay up to date with you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all over Twitter all the time. That's kind of just how I do things. It's Twitter, Twitter, Twitter. I'm refreshing all the time. It's at Matthew Mayer, MatthewMayer, CBS, CBS Sports. Definitely come check out our content, CBSSports.com, and then follow me on Twitter, at Matthew Mayer, CBS. And follow you guys, too. I mean, you guys are great, and you promote things also well. And I was talking about it earlier before. You guys promote the other podcasts as well, too. And there's just a really good sense of community here on NASCAR Twitter. And I'd encourage every single one of you to be a part of it.
Yeah. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. No, it's like, again, man, even in the podcast world and in the media world, it's, you know, we're all friends. We're all pulling the rope in the same direction. So it all counts. So, hey, Matt, big thanks for joining us, taking time out of your day to talk to us here on Lap Traffic. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
That guy literally might have the coolest job.
No lie, right?
I mean, that's putting video packages together for all the team, you know, the sports, like
living in South Florida, just
right,
soaking it up and enjoying it, man. That's not so bad.
No. And you could tell he had a blast down at Miami.
Yeah.
Like, that was fun. I don't know
I'm
if
sure he did.
I mean, for yeah, right.
I would have too.
Yeah, for our listeners, definitely go follow him. Check out his media on Twitter. He was right up there, close and personal with everybody, getting interviews and talking with everybody. Cool dude. Yeah. I got a feeling we're going to keep in touch with him. He's a real nice guy.
For sure, one of the good guys.
All right, Tony, you want to get into this?
Let's get trucking.
All right, man. Trucks, Homestead. Interesting race. Personally, I think, you know, all right. So Christopher Bell, who ends up winning the championship, wins stage one. Ben Rhodes, stage two. And Chase Briscoe, rookie, gets his first win in the truck series at Homestead Miami. And that's not the first time we're going to say that tonight.
No, you're absolutely right. But you know what was cool, too, was it was the last race, sadly, for Brad Keselowski Racing.
Yes.
You know, and to go out on top with your first win and get that for the boss. That was kind of a fitting ending there.
Tony, outside of the racing in all three series, there was so much sentimental moments throughout all three series, throughout the entire weekend, that could have filled up hours of broadcasting, let alone the racing itself.
A couple weeks worth
Seriously.
Of stuff.
Yep. Tony, so we were wrong in that the winner of the trucks was going to need to win the race to win the championship.
Yeah, we were wrong. We were only wrong by like one spot, though.
Yes.
Like Sauter was right behind him.
Yes.
You know.
But the one thing, I'll be honest, I didn't like, and this was the same in the Xfinity race, too, and Cup. You were right. You know, Sauter was right there. But third place, what was it, 13 seconds, 14 seconds back? You know, and that ties into what we were talking about at the beginning of the show with
Really stretched out. You see, man, like how they come off turn four into the pits. It's like they're coming off a third story building trying to get in there. It's
literally
like, how do you not tear up your car doing that?
How do you not
design this?
Check it out. I mean, literally, like that's
sparks flying off of every car because they're bottoming out and scraping. Trying to do that transition is really rough.
I think Miami has the potential to be a track like Atlanta. It's got an older surface. It definitely has character, like with Pitt Road there. It's the cars that made that race bad. They need to adjust the cars to make that track and show off that track for what it could be. Yeah, that's my personal opinion there. I don't know.
You know, and everybody always says, well, you know, it's cool because you can run so many different lines through turn one. Yeah, you can run 100 different lines through turn one. You know which one's the fastest? 2 inches off the wall.
Yeah, yeah. And if you can't pass anybody.
If you're not up there, then I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
So,
I mean, we saw
your car works up there or you're driving somewhere else, and it wasn't interesting.
No. Yeah, you know, off the stretch, you could get right up to him, but you couldn't make the pass because you weren't on the wall carrying that momentum.
That momentum coming off of there. That's why I picked Kyle Larson.
Yeah,
I know the
totally.
Track.
Yep.
And who loves running next to the wall more than Kyle Larson?
Seriously.
Nobody.
Nobody.
You know?
Nobody. Tony, so overall, what'd you think of the truck race itself?
It was good. Like you said, it got stretched out. It was exciting. You know, Johnny Sauter, he fought like crazy. He literally, man, he gave it everything he had to win another one. Matt Crafton did too. I mean, it was a good race, but fitting though. I mean, you know, again, like we said with Truex, Christopher Bell's been the fast guy all year.
Yes. Oh, so totally. I
think the right guy won.
The one thing that disappointed me with the truck race was that, okay, you had Sauter competing for the win of the actual race itself. We did not see a lot of competition between the actual four in the truck series back and forth. You know, you didn't get that. We got that in the Cup. So I'll give that prop and credit to where credit is due. We saw back and forth battling there.
A little bit in Xfinity, a little bit in Cup. But still, they stretch out.
Yeah,
so
that's
there,
the problem.
That,
you know,
what would that final race be like at Martinsville?
Unbelievable. It would be incredible.
You know what I mean? It would just be, it would add a whole different dimension to this.
Everybody
excitement.
Loves trucks at Martinsville. Everybody loves Cup at Martinsville. I mean, there's history with Martinsville. It's the oldest track on the circuit.
I mean, is it that cold there?
I can't imagine. I mean,
I know it's not 85, but
I know when they run Daytona in February, it's not like it's 85 there, you know,
just,
then.
It would just add so much more excitement.
It would just be incredible.
I think it would be great.
It would be incredible. You know what the problem is, though? If they don't run Miami there, I bet the track loses off the circuit. I mean, where are you going to plug Miami into, you know?
Yeah. Not in July.
No, definitely not. So, Tony, Christopher Bell wins the playoff, or wins the championship. I was surprised that Cindric, Crafton, Sauter, they never really got to contend for the lead. Which, I maybe we're beating a dead horse here, but I don't know.
No, I saw the same thing, and it was probably the first time all year I was watching the truck race going, this is boring.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can't even believe those words are coming out of my mouth.
Championship
Yeah,
race.
Championship weekend. I love the trucks, and there wasn't that side-by-side, door-to-door,
Nothing.
We're used to seeing
sure. yep.
in the truck series.
Well, Tony, all right, so Christopher Bell wins. Johnny Sauter finishes second. Austin Cindric third. And our buddy Matt Crafton finishes in third.
In fourth.
Fourth, sorry. Fourth. I got you.
The other three.
The other three.
Yes. 3B.
3A, 3B. Tony, some interesting truck facts here for you. We had 23 truck races. 9 different full-time truck regulars got at least one win, which is 40% of the races, which... was higher than what I expected that number
that's
to be.
That's what's great. I mean, it's equal.
Yeah.
Like, there's so
yeah.
many capable people that can win at any given time.
Yeah.
That's what's great about the series.
Yeah. And of those 9 drivers, they combined for 17 of the 23 truck race wins, which is 74% of the truck season was won by truck regulars. Guess what number isn't going to be that high when we get to the Xfinity part of the show.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Tony, is there anything in particular you're looking forward to with the truck season next year?
I keep hearing rumors about something big happening in the truck series. The big announcement, a big, like, ground shaker announcement.
Okay.
And I have been digging around. I keep hearing that. I've heard that from reliable sources.
Yep.
That's as far as they'll go in the conversation with me.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll have an announcement soon.
Well, you just got me all goosebumpy and ready.
Hey, man.
I'm excited to hear that.
That's Maria's job from here. I don't.
Well, I tell you what, Tony, I really enjoyed the truck season this year. Eldora, man, off the charts. People can finally stop hearing us talk about Eldora. but if you haven't experienced, I'm telling you, you go, you'll talk about it as much as we do.
It's like a religious experience.
Yes,
I'm not lying.
You got to pay homage to racing and go to. You got to make a, what do they call it, pilgrimage. You got to make a pilgrimage.
But bring air conditioning.
Oh, yes.
It is.
Yeah, it's
man, it is.
Hot.
Oh, man, is it hot.
Yes.
Africa hot.
Yes, all right. Well, Tony, the trucks will pick it back up in Daytona next year.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. Tony, ready to talk a little Xfinity?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Well, Tony, I think we got Cole Custer calling in here.
Yeah, we do.
Well, we'll start this Xfinity segment off with
him. Perfect timing.
I love it.
All right, joining us on the line, driver of the 00 Haas Automation Ford Mustang from Stewart Haas Racing. And this is my favorite part, the winner of the Ford EcoBoost 300, our buddy, Cole Custer. How you doing, Cole?
Not bad. How are you guys?
Good, man. Welcome
awesome.
Back to the
awesome.
Show.
Thanks for coming, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Man, that was a dominating performance the other day. And I think, you know, especially we're talking about this before the show, but like you guys are not even a year old team. And I think you just put everybody on notice for 2018. Actually, Brandon and I were talking before you came, but just before you called, we were talking about sending a case of Neosporin to the rest of the Xfinity drivers because you burned their asses. I mean, that was, you killed them. That was impressive, man. Tell us about your day.
Yeah, I mean, we were lucky enough to get there, go there and test with a few other cars a couple months ago. And the second we hit the racetrack, I knew we were going to be extremely good. And it's just a testament to all our guys. They've worked really hard all year, and just last race of the year, it all kind of came together. But it was just, that's just definitely probably the fastest car I've ever driven. And it's unreal, you know, all the hard work that's gone into it this year and how far it came from an empty shop really in last December.
Yeah, and I remember you talking about that last time you were on the show. You guys literally just started in December and busted out. They're, you know, this is a first year team. Everybody, I don't think remembers, but this is a first year team. And now, what do you? I mean, when you have a car that good, well, I mean, what's going through your head? Just like, all right, good pit stop, stick to the basics. You know, don't speed. Is that? I mean, what's? I mean, because you know you got them covered, right? And what's going through your head while you're running?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much you're just trying to focus on not messing up, really. But really, with what's happened, all the things that's happened to me in the last couple of years, I mean, it's just, I was wondering what was going to go wrong, honestly. But it was.
What is that noise?
Is that a vibration?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, it's it was definitely a perfect day. I mean, I honestly, you don't see many days like that anymore. I mean, nothing could go wrong. It was just I couldn't do anything wrong. So, and we had an extremely fast race car to let me do that. So it was you know, one of those perfect days that you don't really see often.
No, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So Cole, we talked to you back in July, fresh off your top five at Indy, which was about halfway through the season, and things were starting to come together for you guys. The start to the season was maybe a little shaky, some jitters, but midway point through the season, things really started to take form from you guys. 11 of the last 15 races, you guys finished with top tens or better. You guys almost made it to the final four. Just a few points shy of that, all in your rookie year and Stuart Haas's rookie year with an Xfinity team. What's the momentum like? How is that going to carry over for 2018? And what's just the mindset of the team?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's in a great mood right now. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit bittersweet because, I mean, if we could have just made it through that last round in the playoffs, we would have had a probably really good shot at winning the championship. But, I mean, it's we're all in great mood just because how far we came this year, really. I mean, none of us knew what to expect at the start of the year. So it's really unreal how much speed we had and how it all, you know, how much better we got throughout the year. So it's everybody's in a great mood, and we're all really looking forward to 2018, really, because I think we're going to be a real fight contender for the championship.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think that anyone can question the speed that you guys have. But, you know, Brandon, I don't know if you realize this, so think about this. So Cole was on our show back in Indy, right? Cole made the playoffs.
Yep.
We had Matt Crafton on, I think the same show.
Same show, actually.
Same show. Yep. He made the playoffs. Martin Truex Jr. wins Monster Energy Cup. He was not on, but Ryan Truex was on, and I think he told him about the show.
So
I'm not taking all the credit for getting everybody to the playoffs. I'm just saying it's a heck of a coincidence.
I think there's something to that, really.
So, Cole, outside of the win this weekend, which was incredible, what was your most exciting moment of 2017?
I've been asked that question before, and it's so hard to think about because the year's so long. But I mean, I don't know. I think probably Chicago. We had a really good run in Chicago, and that was probably one of our breakout races. I feel like we were able to lead some laps and really have a strong run and compete with a lot of Cup guys. So that was probably our race where we figured out that we could really compete at a really high level and compete for wins.
And it's funny, when somebody hits that race, right, as a team, you feel it like you turn the corner. Is that true?
Honestly, I would say that. I mean, it seemed like before, you know, we knew we had some speed, but we kind of just struggled in the races trying to get everything right. And ever since that race in Chicago, it seems like we've really started to figured things out and step our game up a little bit. So it's, I think ever since then we've really figured stuff out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is cool.
So is there anything from an Xfinity standpoint that during the off season you'd like to maybe see NASCAR make changes on or anything like that?
Or how about like a track that, man, you guys could bulldoze it tomorrow and I'll pay for the gas. Is there one of those tracks?
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Michigan. But
it's our home track, brother.
I realize that now.
No,
it's all good, man. Yeah. Trust me, it can be a bore sitting out there sometimes. Let me tell you.
You can't beat the tailgating there, though. That's for sure.
That's a fact.
That's a true story.
But it's not been very kind to me. But I think it's going to change a little bit because we're taking a different downforce package there. The Xfinity Series is next year, so it's going to be interesting to see what that's going to be like.
Now, is that downforce package, that's going to be similar to the one that was run at Indy?
Yep. So it's totally going to change. It's going to be a lot more drafting, but it's we'll see what it's like. It might change my luck there. We'll see. All right.
Way cool. Hey, well, we'll be there. We'll be rooting for you,
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely. So, awesome. Cole, is there a track that maybe you didn't have the greatest finish that you thought you maybe could have put together this year that you guys have circled on the calendar for next year? Like, hey, this track, we're coming with a vengeance.
This track owes us one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Mid-Ohio, the road course. We were extremely fast, and I made a mistake in qualifying and got into the grass, and it damaged the nose on the car. So we actually had to go to the backup car because we went to the grass. But it was we were so fast there, and it's road courses have always been fun, and I always look forward to them. And I think that's one that I'll definitely circle on the calendar to go back to, because I think that's a place we can really do good at.
Yeah, and that's like my second home track. I know every inch of that. That's a tricky track, though, especially as the race wears on and the brakes get worse and the tires go away. There's some places where you can get on the gas a little too early, and that track will bite you real fast.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I learned that the last time, but it's a fun place. It's really technical. It's really tight and everything, but we were fast, and we only got a few laps of practice because there was a lot of rain, but I'm really looking forward to coming back because I think that's a place that definitely owes us one.
Yeah, I agree with that. But you're exactly right. That is a very, very technical track. So there's a lot of emphasis on driver on that track. So tell us, we'll talk about others the next year, whatever. But so you have, what, 80-something days here to do nothing. I know you're not doing nothing, but what are you doing in the offseason? Are you taking any time for yourself? What are you doing for fun, man?
Yeah, I mean, I think for this first month or so in December, you're going to just kind of decompress and relax a little bit, maybe just, you know, hang out with friends and everything. But once you get to about January, you're ready to get back in a car. So it's around January, we'll start really worrying about next year and starting to get things going again. But it's probably get through the holidays and everything first and see family and sure, get all caught up that way. But that's I think that's the plan.
Get adapted to life, not out of a suitcase.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that drill. Yeah.
Well, Cole, do you want to hit your sponsors one last time for 2017 and tell everyone where they can follow you?
Yeah, I mean, couldn't do it without Oz Automation and everybody at Code 3, Gene Hawes, and Roush Yates Engines, Ford. I mean, definitely couldn't have done it without Ford. I mean, they've helped us a lot in the simulator and stuff like that. But it's we're ready for 2018 for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, Cole, as always, thank you so much for taking time out of your day, joining us here on Lap Traffic. We always appreciate it. You got fans in Detroit. We got your back, buddy, and I hope you do well next year. So big thanks again to Cole Custer, driver of the number 00 Haas Automation Ford Mustang for Stuart Haas Racing. And I'm going to say it again, the winner, because this has got to sound good, right? The winner of the Ford EcoBoost 300, Cole Custer. My man, thanks again, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
What a cool dude.
I love Cole.
Awesome
I'm rooting
guy.
For him. And he's 19 years old.
Yeah.
A first-year team. I mean, like, he went from California as a 15-year-old, moved across the country, got a ride from Kenny Schrader as a 15-year-old. Now, look, I mean, he's banging on the door of an Xfinity championship.
4 points off.
Unbelievable. I mean, really, it really is. And what a nice guy. Just
awesome.
Couldn't... you know, so you guys hear, you know, you guys hear all our interviews and everything, but what you don't hear is what we talk about before and after, and just good dude. I mean,
he stuck on with us for what, 5-10 minutes, and just talked afterwards.
Just kicking the can.
Awesome. Yeah,
he's a great guy.
And then we took about a 20-minute break to refill beverages and talk about the season, which probably would have been good on-air stuff.
True story.
But we're back.
We don't stop talking about NASCAR. No, that's the crazy thing, is even when we take breaks. But
yep.
But it was a good season.
It was. All right. So Cole Custer sweeps the race at Homestead, stage 1, 2, and the winner. First win, rookie win, rookie first win for Stuart Haas Racing and the Xfinity team. You know, when I was watching that race, I'm like, man, if Kevin Harvick's car is half this good, he's got this thing in the bag on Sunday.
Yeah, right.
You know, like,
well, you know, and they talk a lot.
Yeah.
So when Cole goes, I mean, he needs someone to talk to. That's who he goes to.
Yeah.
Is totally. Harvick.
Yep. Yep. So William Byron, championship.
Not to be overlooked.
Not to be overlooked, right? Not to be overlooked.
Speaking of rookies and speaking of doing well.
Unbelievable, man. Awesome for Junior Motorsports. You know, when Daniel Hemric went out, Junior had a lock of the championship.
He
it was
did.
Just a matter of who Which, was going
to
get it.
Yeah, whose pit box do I go stand next to is what it came down to. You know, it was unfortunate, though, because Daniel Hemric, he actually had a really, really good car. And he was actually, he led 50-some laps of that championship,
yep.
You know, in that race. So it's kind of a bummer for him. But that's, I mean, that's part of racing and unfortunate for sure. But, yeah, you're right. But how fitting, right? Junior's last weekend. All of that stuff. I mean, if you could add to the drama, right? Cue the drama.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
You know, he falls way behind with the battery issue, and there it is.
Yeah.
It's his.
Yep.
How cool.
There you go. The one thing, you know, I didn't realize until the broadcast when they said, you know, well, Junior's got it locked, basically, and Daniel Hemric's from RCR. There were no Chevys represented in the final four for the Cup, but it was all Chevys for Xfinity,
yeah,
which was kind of interesting there. You know, when Hemric had his issue, which, like I said, basically guaranteed Junior's championship, which was cool. You know, that's a feel-good story, one of those moments that we were talking about when we first started the show of off the track. You've got William Byron moving to HMS next year. Junior, his last ride and Cup, owns the Xfinity team, gets the championship. Junior and Rick, you know, literally a father-son, basically bonding moments that we got to see all weekend with those two. I mean, literally, I mean, they could do a movie on this weekend from Homestead.
Absolutely right. You know, one of my favorite things that I saw at the end, and I might get this a little bit wrong, but I want to say that, so Hendrick, they won, right? They won the title. I want to say, did Penske win the constructor?
Something, yeah, yeah.
Okay, but they were both up there getting their trophies
yep.
at the same time. So you have Rick Hendrick and Roger Penske, and they swapped hats.
Dude, that was so cool.
Did you see that?
I did see that,
They
yeah.
swapped hats, yep. took a few pictures.
Just you know, the show of respect
Rick between. Rick Hendrick was wearing the Penske hat, and Roger's wearing the Hendrick hat, and that's cool stuff.
That's awesome. You know, you got two guys... you know, worth a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
But with the most respect in the industry.
I mean, absolute icons.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And to have that much respect for each other, it's cool.
Yes. No, that's, and that's where you can take away the dealerships, the wins, and just, you had two guys there that just respect the hell out of each other and had a good moment. And, yeah. and it was great. I mean, like I said, it was great all around. It was great for TV, great for the fans, great for the, I mean, there wasn't anything bad about the off-track stuff that went on
now,
this weekend.
Now, let me ask you this. Speaking a little bit off-track,
yes.
1%. What do you think about Elliott Sadler going after Ryan Preece after that race?
You know,
I didn't see Ryan Preece doing anything wildly incorrect.
I didn't see it any different than Larson, who could have gone and, you know, made a run for the race
right.
win on Sunday. You know, you had one of the interesting things about this weekend with all three series was you didn't have the dominant upfront contention by all four running 1, 2, 3, 4 the whole race. You had guys intermixed throughout the track. And because of that, why is it wrong for someone to want to go run for a position?
And they were going, Gibbs was running for the Constructors' Championship.
Yeah. Right? So it wasn't like it was a lapped.
Right.
No pun intended
yeah, no,
car.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. No, he wasn't running 23rd.
Right.
Right. He wasn't getting
it
in anybody's way. And, you know, he had his team orders, man. You got to get every position that you can. And we all know Ryan Preece's story. You know, he's digging up from the modified series. He's got to dig for everything that he can possibly get. I didn't see him doing anything wrong. And honestly, if he gets around Ryan Preece, Elliot Sadler ain't catching him.
No.
I'm sorry. He just wasn't going to.
Well, you know, and Ryan Preece, he ran a handful of times. And I don't think the guy's finished outside the top 10.
No.
This guy can drive a car.
I don't think he's finished out of the top 5.
It's good possibility. Good possibility. So the guy can race. There was no ill intent behind it whatsoever.
That's my point. He was not getting in his way. He was not a back marker.
Right. No. Right. No, I'm with you 100% there. Tony, we almost had to eat our words there, though, from an Elliot Sadler perspective.
And that I thought about this while the race was going on.
All season, Elliot Sadler can't do it. He's point racing, and he almost point raced his way to a championship.
Credit where credit's due. He almost did it.
Absolutely. I mean, that would have been some big words we would have had to eat there.
It went through my head. I'm like, man, how am I going to explain this on Tuesday? It did. I'm not going to lie.
No. All right, so William Byron, Elliot Sadler, Justin Allgaier, Daniel Hemric. You know, Allgaier showed some brief moments of strength in the beginning of the race and just kind of trailed off there a little bit.
Yeah, you know what? He lost his crew chief.
Yeah.
That was the bad news.
Well, I mean.
You know who filled in? Was Chad Knaus.
I mean.
From Jimmy Johnson's team. But you know what? There's still not the synergy. You know, he's going to call a good race. He's going to, you know, do it the best that he can, but he's not.
He doesn't know how driving style.
He doesn't
know
his driving style. He hasn't been. He certainly hasn't adjusted that car.
Chad Knaus's finesse.
To the Chad Knaus level, but.
Yeah,
still a good run. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But if I'm going to get a substitute teacher, that's who I want for a substitute teacher.
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, substitute teacher, you want to be able to slack off. You're not slacking off a check and out.
No, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you
know, 100%.
If you have to have a backup,
right.
That's sure as hell who I want for a backup.
So, Tony, some numbers here from Xfinity, like I had here for truck. Out of 33 Xfinity races, only 7 Xfinity regulars won a race, which is only 22%. For a total of 11 wins, which is only 33%.
How many of those were NASCAR drivers?
Well, that's my next
Monster
number here.
Energy, you know what I mean.
16 of the 33 Xfinity races were won either by Busch, Larson, Jones, Blaney, Keselowski, or Logano. 6 Cup guys accounted for 49% of the Xfinity wins. It's a lot of wins.
Absolutely.
In a series they're not running for points for. So,
yeah.
You know, we've talked about this all season. You know, if they're going to run, that's great. I know they're limiting them, which is cool, too. But let's just change the way they award the points. Give the first-place Xfinity regular the first-place points in the stage.
I think they're making a little bit of a change on when. I don't think they can run in the playoffs anymore.
I don't think so either,
that's
good.
That's the way that I read it.
Yeah.
Just change the when and where's a little bit and maybe a little bit of points. I mean,
This
is just tweaking. I mean, this is little stuff. But, you know what, it kills me when I watch a rookie driver dominate the rest of the Xfinity field, but he finished fourth behind, you know, Ryan Blaney and Brad Keselowski
Cole Custer missed running for the championship on 4 points. I can count at least 3 or 4 times I know he was the top finishing Xfinity regular in a race, and if he had gotten those points, different ball game.
Right. And he would have been the champion.
Yeah, more than
won it at Homestead.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, yes.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it is.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. Anything else from the Xfinity race or season there, sir?
You know, I'm looking forward to next year. There's going to be, you know, we're going to have Ryan Preece.
Yeah.
Full time. We're going to have a whole bunch of these, Ty Majeski and all these guys that are, you know, I know, is it Hemric that's changing? From RCR over, I don't know. But, I mean, there's lots of stuff. There's even more talent coming into this pool.
Yep.
You know, Christopher Bell's moving up. Well, that's going to shake things up.
Yep.
You know, he's going to be in a JGR car. That's a big deal. So it's going to shake things up again, and I think there's going to be more competition than this year in 2018 for the Xfinity Series.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's my thoughts on that. Want to hit some social media?
I would love to, sir. Everyone, make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. I did some updates to it today, so go check it out. Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast.
And The updates are really cool.
Thank you very much.
By the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you going to mention the awards?
I am going to mention the awards. Okay. Yes, sir.
That's all right. I don't mean to skip ahead. Sorry.
That's all right. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LapTrafficPC. Listen to us on iTunes, Podbean, subscribe, auto-download, wherever you listen to podcasts. And if we're not where you listen to podcasts, let us know, and we'll see if we can fix that somehow. We still got our contest going on. Under 200 followers to go to give away this signed Lap Traffic t-shirt by the Eldora Truck Field.
In a couple of weeks, we should be at the 20,000 download level.
We're getting
there. We're at 18 and some change.
Yes, 18 and change. So, yeah, before we start next year, for sure, it'll
by the end of the year. Yes. I want to say by the end of the year, both of these shirts are out of here.
I would think so. Let's see. Some new follower shout-outs over on Facebook. So, Tony, apparently, just to recap, I was corrected from last week when I talked about our new follower from New South Wales. Apparently, I lacked a little bit of geographical knowledge on where New South Wales was. So we need to get a globe in the man cave.
Is there an old South Wales?
Butch McFadden, big Blaney fan. And Nicholas Don Francesco from Stoughton, Virginia, big Chase Elliott fan. Welcome to the show. Yes, sir.
Where's New South? Where's that at?
It's actually in Australia, as I think recall from being told.
Okay, just checking.
Yes, yes. I thought it was part of Wales, like UK area.
Way off.
Didn't need to bleep that out there.
Gotcha.
Over on Twitter, let's see here. Skyler at Skyler C. Fox loves auto racing. And Tony, he's like, I think, 16 years old, and he's working towards his ASE certification.
Do you know what ASE is?
It's like the certified.
It's automotive service excellence, and it's the highest degree that you can get as a mechanic.
Yeah. So good luck, man.
Yeah. So I have 7 ASE certifications.
Nice.
They're hard.
Yeah,
I'm not joking. They're
it's like the accountant CPA exam.
They're like, that's like legit hard. So that's awesome. Good job.
That's
keep
awesome.
It up, man.
Steph at Steph underscore in underscore city, big junior fan from Charlotte. Mike at Pac-Man 91194, big Hendrick Motorsports supporter. April at SWTPCH70. She was pulling for the win, so was I.
And I just thought of this.
What
you know? One of our listeners actually works at ASE.
Oh, really?
Kevin Leekus.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
He actually sent us in a lucky dog this week.
He did, and he actually works at ASE and develops those tests and everything. And
so he's all kind of smart.
He is all kind of smart. He's a good dude.
That's awesome. Yeah, you've gone back and forth on email a little bit. Everyone, make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Tell your loved ones to get you a Lap Traffic t-shirt for the holidays. Better way?
We have hoodies. We've
got everything.
We have everything out there.
We do. And Tony, I'm really excited about this. So I just put this together this week. We now have an Amazon portal, which is on our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com.
Yeah, so explain how that works.
So all you have to do is you can click on the link from our website. You can bookmark that link once it opens. And it takes you right to Amazon. But if you click on our link through that, it's tied to our show. And we'll get a little percentage, not much.
I think there's a 0.00.
It's
in
something,
front of
you know. But it was free for us to set up, and it doesn't cost you anything extra to make your purchase through it. But it's just a way that to help support the show. If you want to tell your friends, family, everybody uses Amazon. So if you just click that link first and complete your purchase through clicking on that link, you know, you can log in, do your thing, and get whatever, and we'll get a small token of
how awesome is that?
That's really cool.
So honestly, in everything that we get, guys, even in t-shirts or whatever, and it's not much to be honest, but you know, we're looking at upgrading everything that we have. We're looking at, you know, getting phone calls in, having more guests on. We're, you know, all of those things and upgrading our equipment. So, I mean, it just all goes into the show.
Absolutely.
I just want to.
Yeah. It's not going to our bar tab.
Believe me. speaking of that, I need to clear up my bar tab. What's the Powerball up to?
I think it's 104.
Yeah.
I don't know. After that tax thing, still might owe a few bucks.
I might still owe a few bucks. Anyway, I digress.
So, yeah. So, anyways, we got an Amazon portal. If you want to spread word about that, we'd be more than appreciative on that. If you want some stickers and koozies, last call, when we send out our stuff here in a couple weeks, we're going to make one last mailer trip to the post office. Tony, I got to go to the post office and send the guys over. I got to mail across the pond, man, because I lost a bet.
What bet was this?
So the guys over at My Opinion, Therefore Fact, the one is a big Kyle Busch fan.
You got to quit going on their show, man. You're getting your ass kicked every time you talk to those dudes. I'm just telling you.
So we set up a bet and the bet was that Kevin Harvick would finish ahead of Kyle Busch.
All right. I know why you did it.
Right.
That was not your brightest move.
Well,
okay.
So I have to send them a Kyle Busch autograph.
Oh, no kidding. Ouch.
Yes. But they're getting some gag shit, too. Like, they're going to regret making this bet, you know?
So, I want to be part of that.
Yes.
I want to be part of that.
Yes. So, but anyways, there's all that. Tony, hit him with our P.O. box.
Yeah, if you guys want to send us anything, as people do from time to time, we always appreciate getting things from our listeners. You can do that by hitting us up at the Lap Traffic Podcast Post Office Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan 48072.
Yes, sir. Tony, it's that time in the show where we talk about fantasy.
It is.
And before we get into results and all that, first off, I just want to thank everybody that played. It's been a lot of fun, and I got a lot of nice emails thanking me for running it and doing all that.
And I think it'll even be even better next year.
It's
going to
be huge next year. So before we get into results, stay tuned. We will have something for next year. I'm still kind of playing around with seeing what site's going to work best and all that.
I think you just make it a little easier for everybody to do.
Yeah, you know, it'll just be like if you play fantasy football, you know, go to this site, punch in a code, and you know, we'll go from there with it. That's going to be, I think, easier for everybody, including myself. So stay tuned to that. But big thanks to everybody that followed us early to even hear about the Fantasy League and played with us. That's awesome. Yeah. So, Tony, we've got our results, but I believe that...
Well, we had to review everything.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
And any team will tell you, right? You can run 500 laps. You know what the hardest lap is lap 501, which is through the tech inspection.
It's a true story.
So we did tech inspection. We went through and checked over everybody's points, and there were a couple discrepancies. So let me see here. Chris Coble, Chris Lowther, Wes Knight, and Cody, SHR41. We have found you hit unapproved adjustments, which is an L1 level infraction, section 29.1.84, which is a 40-point deduction.
Oh, wow.
40-point deduction. Aaron and Mick, 42, who they were the top two guys, they actually had non-conforming equipment and or picks, which is a violation of 20.8.5.2, 50 points deduction, and loss of a driver for 2018.
Oh, that'll kill you.
I mean, rules
wow.
are rules.
Wow. Right? Well, you know, it is penalty day.
It is penalty day at NASCAR, and lap traffic fantasy is no different. So we're going to have to make those. We'll make the updates actual winners are, and we'll post those later.
Oh, that's hysterical. That was good, sir. I applaud
who
that
is,
there.
Let me see who is the winner at this point.
Wow. Go look at Tony. I think if I deduct that, add that. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's me.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm the winner now. Tony, look at that.
Let me know what size shirt you want, and we'll...
Hey, what do you know?
That out
hey, guys, I'm just totally kidding. I'm just totally playing around. You guys did a great job. Everybody, thanks for playing.
Absolutely. And, Tony, that was really good.
Had to have a little fun with you. We're not going to have a crew chief corner tonight, so I'm going to have a little fun there. So.
Tony, that was awesome.
My entertainment for the night.
That was great. All right, Tony. So we had some people pick and really go out of the limb and take Martin Truex Jr. at Homestead.
Wow.
I really don't know how they had him left, to be honest. But
yeah, right?
Funny note before we get into the results. So people were literally tweeting pictures of Aussie John literally was keeping a running spreadsheet of how many, like, he put our logo on it, how many times he used every driver, how many points.
I saw that.
And then Mick Rose sent his thing, which looked like yours.
Mick Rose is a cheater, by the way.
He had a system like you, like scratch pad, basically, which was just literally, like, that just warmed my heart just to see how much people really took this seriously and loved it, which was so much fun getting all of that
and
in there.
And truth told, we haven't gone back. We haven't reviewed anything. We don't.
No.
It was a total honor system. We trust you.
You want to know what the funny? So I ran this on an Excel sheet, Tony. Do you know how many lines this thing ended up being?
No.
1,357 Jesus lines, like, Lord. Just because I just kept adding on to it.
Can I tweet this out? My absolutely.
Tony's going to do that live right now, actually.
Yeah, we can do that.
Let's see here. All right, I'm going to read here through the actual results of the Lap Traffic inaugural season. All right, so everybody, here's who picked Martin Truex to win at Homestead. Aaron, Aussie, John, Rudy, Rayon all picked the 78. Tony, we only had one person, and I actually did have to go back and make some corrections. We did have one person pick Martin Truex Jr. in the preseason as the champion, and that was Chris Coble. So nice job there. I'm going to run through the full standings here since it's over. Congratulations to Mick Rose, who finished in first with 266 points. Aaron finished in second with 261.
Man, so close.
It was real close. Chris Lowther was in third with 253. Chris Coble in fourth, 249. Cody and Wes Knight in fifth with 248, only 1 point between fourth and fifth. Chad for the win in sixth with 244. Tony, you ended up finishing in seventh with 229. Rich, eighth, 223. Colby in ninth. Kevin in 10th. Mike in 11th. Aussie John, 12th. I finished in 13th with 199. I couldn't even crack 200. Jared and Jeff finished in 14th along with Rayon. Greg in 15th. Mike Merrick in 16th. Steve Merrick in 16th. They tied together there. Urban in 17th. Brian Westy, 18th. Stacy, 19th. Our buddy Eric Zalen in 20th. Rudy in 21st. Curtis, 22nd. Chris Collier, 23rd. Ryan, 24th. And James TW in 25th. Couple guys ended up dropping off, I think, come the Martinsville race in the spring.
Well,
but,
but it's hard to keep up with it every week. So
oh, absolutely.
There were a few no picks occasionally.
That's all right.
And we did the best we could to get that in there.
But most part, everyone, full participation, which was
cool.
Awesome. So thanks again, everybody, for playing.
Cool.
I've heard from all of the winners with addresses. I'm just waiting on one more person to tell me what shirt and all that they want. And once we get those in, we'll get everything sent out hopefully in the next week or two here to everybody.
Very cool.
When you get it, make sure you tweet that out so we
retweet
that.
This.
We'll add it on the website and stuff
like
that.
We love that stuff. It's cool for us to see all that stuff, especially the can koozies. You guys take them to races.
That's so cool.
That's like number one on our favorite list. So
yes,
send those pictures in. Thanks,
Tony. 2 weeks we're going to do our award show. Over 600 responses. I had no idea we were going to get that kind of response. Obviously, I came up with a good idea every once in a while there.
Yeah, well,
I can't wait to talk about
blind squirrel.
All right, Tony, let's talk some Cup. Tony, before we get into the actual race, there were three quotes that I want to read you and get your thought on from the Final Four interviews and all the media leading up to this week. A couple interesting ones. Kyle Busch, and this is from NASCAR.com. Kyle Busch on rivalry with Brad Keselowski. Sometimes you just don't like a guy. Fact of the matter. I never ran into Matt Kenseth. I don't think Matt Kenseth ever ran into me. So there's a respect factor out there on the racetrack. I race those like they race me. Tony, what do you think about that?
Fair.
Yeah?
I think they both, neither one of those guys want to give up a square inch. They are both very similar. They're both very aggressive. They're both very smart drivers. And you know what? When you're running that hard, that close to each other, and you're not going to give up, you're going to bump into each other once in a while.
Racing is a competitive sport, and it's okay not to be friends with all 40 guys out there on the track.
Kyle Petty said it when I interviewed him at SEMA. your job isn't to be their friends. It's not to go to their birthday party. It's go out there and win. And I think I want to say Brad, Kyle, and Kevin Harvick are at the top of that list of those guys that I would think of that, man, they ain't going to your birthday party. They don't care if you're a friend. I'm going to the front. And that's right. All there is to it.
Well, and it's funny you say that. So Kevin Harvick, over the years, has had quite a number of rivalries. Matt Kenseth, Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, Greg Biffle. You know, he's been no stranger to a scuffle. And, you know, Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, never the best of friends,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
Kyle Busch on Kevin Harvick. This week when we were doing the media stuff in New York, we were kind of like the high school buddies. We were kind of joking around, making fun of the others. So that was kind of weird. Kevin and I friends? What? I guess we've gone to respect one another and what each other's done.
That one surprised me.
Dude, I'm baffled. Like, every once in a while, Kyle Busch does something that I'm like, oh, wow. But then he's going to go mess that up somewhere.
No, I was more surprised at somebody like Kyle Busch. That was the thing. That was the part that actually... I think maybe, you know, honestly, not whatever. Like, you know, Harvick is a little older now. You know, Fuse, you know, is a little longer. Maybe he's got a little more patience for some of these guys.
Oh, sure.
And they definitely have respect. They all do.
Absolutely.
They all,
you know what I think it is a little bit, too? They each got a championship, and they each got a kid.
Yeah.
I think that changes your mindset a little bit.
And I'll be honest with you. I think Kyle Busch having a kid, okay, whether it was, you know, the UPS guys or not, you know, it settled him down a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah.
I think it really did.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I was kidding.
I know.
It's now Brexton's your kid. It was a joke.
Tony, Martin Truex Jr., I'll wreck any damn one of those three. That's what you want to hear, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm going to race those guys.
Easiest going,
right?
Quietest guy. Like, yeah, I'll wreck them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think anybody believed that coming out of his mouth. So I thought that was interesting. I like what they do in terms of a media perspective with the Final Four. They were all on the Tonight Show. You know, it definitely trying to hype up what was a boring race. And that's where,
man, you could
get out there and you can hype and build. But if you don't deliver on Sunday for the race, you know, why is someone going to tune in next year? Why is that casual fan like Matt was talking about? You know, why is he going to tune into something other than the Daytona 500? Give us a reason. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
All right.
I thought they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Cup. Kyle Larson dominates stage one and two and almost gets the thing done. And of course, Martin Truex Jr. gets his eighth win of the season and brings home the championship, Tony.
No, he was the man all year. Like I said, it would have almost been criminal to take it away from him at that point.
Sure, absolutely. I mean,
it really would have.
We were both rooting for our driver, but, you know, like you said, it would have felt like guilty almost.
Yeah, right. I mean, honestly, like it just would not have been right. But I have a thought on this, and you and I have talked about this before. No, like Furniture Row, you know, we talked about them they're out in Denver.
Yep.
Away from the whole Charlotte scene. They're out there on an island all by themselves. And I think, so like, they've stumbled onto something clearly, right? They have basically the same access to everything, the JGR, you know, whatever. Here's my thought on it is, so we see this in Detroit in the auto industry. You know, you have people at Chrysler that go to Ford, the people at Ford go to GM, the GM go to Chrysler, and it's kind of becomes, at some point, you get a little saturation of the same ideas, right? Little becomes, you know, a mishmash of the same ideas, and they all kind of keep doing the same thing-ish. And maybe that's what's happening in Charlotte. You know, they trade crews, and crews and crew chiefs change, and they take their crew guys, and they go from team to team to team. And I wonder if some of the ideas are a little stagnant from that perspective. In Cole Pearn from Canada, right? And they're in Denver, and they got some guys, and they got their own ideas. And like I said, they're doing something right, and they did it all year.
A little change of scenery never hurts anybody.
Yeah, truthfully.
Good JV going to Houston.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Justin Verlander goes to Houston. Didn't do so bad either.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, that was just,
no. I agree.
Just
no,
a thought.
Absolutely.
Just a thought. I mean, you know, you got to get some fresh perspective sometimes, and someone to come in and go, "Why?
Sure.
Like, why did we do that?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a simple question. Sometimes you get too, you know, like the forest through the trees. But
yeah.
I but like they it. they did a great job. Barney Visser, who couldn't even make it.
Yeah,
you know,
it was sad.
You know, but I'm glad that he's okay. Glad he's healthy. But man, to not be there,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
you know, that had to hurt.
Absolutely.
But good for him. That was cool.
Absolutely. Tony, Martin Truex's eighth win of the season 8 wins is the most since, I don't, have you ever heard of this guy, Carl Edwards, some guy that retired or something?
I heard of him. I don't know.
He won 9 in 2008, and Jimmy Johnson won 10 in 2007. 10 years since we've had a dominating win like this.
Like I said, they were the ones that were dialed in, and they were every weekend.
Yeah. Yep. Tony, we almost went 3-for-3 with a non-playoff driver winning at Homestead, which would have been interesting at Kyle Larson coming off 4 DNFs and had a dominant car, you know, would have been able to get the win there. Tony, we talked about it a little bit earlier. He definitely got to the bumper of the 18, like you said, and gave him a nice little nudge there.
Like, I literally was waiting for the hood on his car to buckle.
So what's your thought on that? Should he have gone for the win, which he probably could have gotten, or was it a show of respect, you know?
I think at that point, you have 4 or 5 laps to go. You got to let him fight it out. You can't. You know what I mean? You don't want to be part of that conversation. What if?
Right. What if the tire went?
He wouldn't have gotten in my way. What if this? What if? No, you gotta lay back. And
if Kyle Larson didn't have 3 wins this season, does he go for that win?
No. I don't know if he never had a win.
Okay.
He might have.
Okay.
But like I said, when you know, I had him left on my this Excel sheet that I got, this perfect sheet of my picks. But like, I know at Homestead you run the rim.
Yeah,
and there's nobody else out there that loves running up high like that than Kyle Larson. So he goes out, wins stage 1, stage 2, and then slows down maybe a little bit, let these dudes duke it out.
Yep.
And my 2 cents.
Yeah. Tony, the one difference with the Cup race was 3 out of the 4 playoff drivers at least led for the Cup in trucks. I know Johnny Sauter didn't lead a lap. Matt Crafton didn't lead a lap.
Cole Custer sure as hell wasn't going to let anybody lead anything.
Yeah, you know,
the Xfinity race.
That was at least the one good thing. At least the playoff drivers on the Cup side were contending with each other more than we got in truck and Xfinity.
And they finished 1, 2, 4, and 7.
Yes,
which tells me that the playoff system works.
Right.
They got the right guys.
Yes.
Or they got 3 out of the 4 of the right guys. You know what I mean? It was really good, and it works.
Yep. No, I agree with you completely on there. Let's see what else here. Tony, let's talk about some of the non-race track stories here.
Okay.
Danica Patrick announces she's going to be done, with the exception of Daytona and Indy. Rex finished 37th.
I would have liked to seen her finish better than that, truthfully. That was kind of a bummer, but it was all her.
Yeah.
That one was on her, but she was not in a great mood.
No. I felt bad for Kelly Stavis, who was on last week having an interview.
I felt really bad for her. And truthfully, I would have thought, you know, that's it for Danica. You whatever. Honestly, I would have thought in the medical center, like her PR person or whatever, they would have just taken 90 seconds. Let her clear her breath.
Yeah,
right.
Clear
Let's
head.
Take a breath and whatever. And she was still in the moment a little bit, and I think it would have been maybe a little better in that occasion.
Yeah,
this is it. Pretty much it for her. And you know, because she's better than that.
Absolutely.
You know, she was bitter and she was mad and she was, you know.
Understandable.
Totally understandable, yeah. But she needs to, I would like to see her go out on a higher note than that.
That's all. I agree.
That's all. Unfortunate.
Junior finished 25th and could have cared less, Tony.
Didn't care.
All he wanted was that car in one piece so he could get the car.
Yeah.
That was traded his helmet to Rick for keys for the car.
Yep. Oh, it's key. Oh, you didn't see the Dewey Ryder commercial? It's keyless entry.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm the new sheriff in town.
The new sheriff. I'm the new you, the upgrade.
The upgrade.
Guys, if you haven't seen it, look up Dewey Ryder on YouTube. The new Mountain Dew commercials between Dale Earnhardt and the guy Danny McBride is the guy played Kenny Powers.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. He's like, give me the keys. He goes, it's a race car, no keys. He goes, oh, keyless entry. Very impressive.
Tony, Matt Kenseth, who won Phoenix last week, finished 8th, Homestead. No ride for next year. It's crazy how that works out.
I'm still scratching my head. I don't understand.
Yeah, I know. All right, Tony, some numbers for Cup here. Martin Truex, 8 wins accounted for 23% of the season, which is out of control. 15 different drivers with at least one win. 14 if we don't count Mr. Logano's
encumbered.
Which is encumbered.
Pretty good. I mean, that's not bad. I mean, you know, 15 different drivers.
Yeah. Tony, Chevy and Ford with 10 wins each. Toyota, 16 wins. It's not horrible.
It isn't horrible, but I'll bet you the difference is mile and a half tracks.
Obviously.
Toyota, bye-bye. See you around.
Let's see. Tony, anything else from the Cup race or anything there?
Nah, just, you know, the racing just, well, I think 12 people finished on the lead lap. It just wasn't a door-to-door racing that I would like to see.
Yeah.
Is 12 the right number?
It was 12, yeah. Yep.
I see every once in a while. I know
you
fact,
get it every once in a while. That's right.
But I read a little bit. But I just would have liked to have seen a little closer racing overall.
Sure. Well, Tony, Matthew mentioned it early on that it was really all about Junior. So I will tell you, what a feel-good moment. Junior driving down pit road, high-fiving the team members, just like his dad did when he won the 500. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a more perfect storybook ending to how they sent Junior off.
Good bookends.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tony, did you see the tribute that the Fords did to the 88 with the burnouts?
That was so cool.
Was that not cool? That was awesome.
If you guys haven't seen it, look it up. But they sent Ryan Blaney and Joey Logano on the backstretch.
Kurt Busch, too, I think, went out there.
And they were ripping donuts on the back straightaway, and they made an 88.
Yeah.
On
which
the
is
back.
Very cool. Which just goes to show, you know, just like we were talking about with Rick and Penske.
Yeah.
You know, the camaraderie between all the manufacturers in the garage. They're all busting their ass
to do the best you can to beat everybody every week. But then they're like, you know what, take some cars out there. And they got in, the drivers went out, took their time and went out, and of course, it wasn't, you know, exactly work to, you know, rip donuts.
Right. Yeah.
But it was.
Yeah. But no, that's all. We were talking, you know, Junior being in the booth next year, he'll be at the track. You know, he's going to have a presence. It's not going to be like he's going to Fiji for the rest of his life.
My opinion, I think, you know what, Richard Petty's been the ambassador for this sport for so long. Richard Petty, unfortunately, isn't going to be with us forever.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's around a lot longer.
Sure.
But, you know, I think Dale Jr. is going to kind of inherit that role as an ambassador
Absolutely.
For the sport.
Absolutely. All right, Tony, a little silly season news here. So we talked about Danica Patrick a little bit. What do you think the fact running Daytona and running Indy?
Well, she's got actually a pretty good track record at Daytona. So I don't know whose car she's going to run there.
So there was, I guess, Ganassi. Okay, has reached, you know, they, I guess they talked at Homestead, you know, so there could be something there,
you know,
for,
and you know, Indy's a one-off. I know Penske, they talked and he doesn't have room for his, he's got a full stable. I think Ganassi maybe give her another ride there, but she's, you know, she's competitive. She'll put on, you know, she'll run well.
She'll put a show.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Tony, you know, we've talked about it the last couple of weeks. Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, Dale Jr., Carl Edwards, Matt Kenseth, now Danica Patrick, big names. But the awesome part, and we talked about it earlier, there's some cool names coming up through the field, man.
Yeah,
the sport from a competition level is going to be okay.
Oh, yeah, totally. There's some great racers coming up. No fear for that.
No, nope.
Yeah, it's going to be real good.
Tony, an interesting note that came out, I don't know if you saw this, Roush announced a driver development team for the Xfinity Series in 2018 with Ty Majeski, Austin Cindric, and Chase Briscoe, which I find this really interesting considering as how they attempted to field an Xfinity team with Bubba Wallace and folded shop midway through the season from a sponsor issue.
Yeah.
I wonder why are they able to get sponsorship for a development team in 2018 but couldn't finish the season in 2017.
Yeah, it is interesting. Now, the one thing that is interesting more to me though is Ty Majeski coming in, who had a really good run this last weekend, by the way.
Yep.
If you remember, we were at Michigan at the press conference, someone asked him there from the media, said, who are the drivers that you're watching that are coming up?
Yep.
And he said, what's the guy's name? Ty Majeski.
Majeski.
Majeski, whatever. And somebody said Tyler Majeski. He said, Ty? They go, Ty. He goes, no, they said Tyler. He goes, and Dale Earnhardt goes, you don't think he goes by Ty?
Yep. Yep. No, I do remember that.
So
yeah,
he,
yeah.
So he's on Junior's radar.
Yeah.
So give this guy a little seasoning, and he might be in a Junior Motorsports ride.
Sure.
Before long, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Tony, you want to do some lucky dogs?
Yeah, let's do it.
Tony, who is your lucky dog?
I'm gonna do a duel. It's got to be Truex. Obviously, I'm gonna go with Cole Custer.
Fair enough.
One
I love it.
1A.
1A, 1B. Tony, I'm going Martin Truex Jr. You've got, I mean, just dominating season, feel good story. Like, everything about that was awesome. So I'm going to go with Martin Truex. Tony, who are you putting a lap down?
They've got to change the location.
Fair enough.
Or the track or something.
Yep.
You can't have races that stretched out with 12 people on the even on the lead lap.
Sure.
You know what? I saw something.
Yes.
Interesting side note worth nothing.
Yeah.
Corey LaJoy was the last car that Dale Earnhardt Jr. passed.
Oh.
In his career.
No
it was
kidding.
Corey LaJoy.
Nice.
There. More useless information. What about you? Who are you putting a lap down?
I am putting the track selection of 13 out of 36 tracks next year being mile and a half.
Yep.
So that's my lap down. Over to some listener picks. Hugh at Bucky515's lucky dog is Bell, Byron, and Martin Truex Jr. Lap down are the Lap Traffic Podcast fans having to wait until February.
You know what? But we're not signing off.
No, we're not. No, we'll be here.
There'll be more shows
yes.
and stuff.
Yeah, some
coming.
Stuff. There'll be stuff. Andrew at Kansakstan's lucky dog, the entire Martin Truex Jr. NASCAR story. Lap down the hole left by Jr. William at @Will_Wilson429's lucky dog are all the champions, Rookie of the Year, and Kaz Grala. Lap down, Danica. Thought it was revenge from AJ or Blaney, but she flat out had no speed.
Mm-hmm.
Mick at @GoDucks42_Mix, lucky dog, all champions, well deserved. Lap down, season being over. Stu at Stu's Alaska, lucky dog, 78, great season, 88 and 20, great careers, and social media to be able to enjoy this with everyone. Lap down, mile and a half tracks, and sore losers in interviews. Tim at T-Trip14's lucky dog, Martin Truex Jr. on an unbelievable season. Lap down is the 18, #crybaby. Noah at Endustier's lucky dog, 78. It's awesome to see the driver he roots for win. Lap down, 42 for not going for it.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Steve at SC Linden's lucky dog is Byron. Lap down, Hamlin. He stuck true. He has put Hamlin a lap down every race since the Chase Elliott fiasco. Jeff at Gray Wolfpack 5's lucky dog. Outside, if Harvick had won, loved how he raced. How he raced both the 18 and 4 made a run for it. John at JGallo24's lucky dog. Hard not to choose the 78. He earned that title. Lap down, Kenseth. Not much mention of him all night.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Kevin Likas, lucky dog. Lap Traffic Nation. He says we did a fantastic job all season.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Kevin.
That vote. Lap down, the end of the 2017 season. Only about 90 days till Daytona.
You know, speaking of people that they didn't talk about, you know, Landon Castle, Michael McDowell.
Yeah.
Great drivers, great guys. Don't have a ride set up for next year. Hopefully they pop up, you know, here and there, whatever. But, you know, good guys. But it was, you know, kind of a bummer. Like, you didn't hear about some of their stuff. Landon Castle's been, he's been posting some hilarious stuff on Twitter.
Yes, he has.
So.
Yes. Check him out for sure.
No surprise.
No. All right, Tony, you ready for the final odds from Homestead?
Yep.
All right, I had Martin Truex Jr. at +200. He came in at +125. I put Kevin Harvick at +500. He came in at +375. I put Kyle Busch at +750. He came in at 225. And Brad Keselowski, I put at 750, and he came in at +550. So how Vegas scored him is how they finished in the standings. No surprise there.
Surprise.
Like, go you said, figure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they were one. Yeah, +125. That's nothing.
That's not even money, considering it's how you've got 40 in the field.
Right.
You know, that's crazy. Over to our podcast pick'ems. Tony, I had the 4 who finished 4th. You had the 42 who finished 3rd. The PETM guys had Brad Keselowski who finished 7th and Martin Truex who finished 1st.
We won by one.
We won by one. Tony, we finished the season with them 14-8. We went on a run at the end of the season.
But, they went on a run early, right?
They did.
Am I wrong?
Yes.
Like, we were down like 5-0, 6-0 or something.
It was
like
crazy.
That.
It was like, so that was a lot of fun.
So we had to spot them.
Yes. So I'm sure we'll do something with them next year again. That was a lot of fun.
That was very fun.
Let's see here. Tony, number 48 in the books. Everyone, make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Vote for our award show. We're going to do that in 2 weeks. You still got time to get your votes in. Make sure you click on our Amazon link for the holiday season, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all coming up.
That would be awesome.
That would be very cool. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at laptrafficpodcast.com. Let's see here. Big thanks to Cole Custer from Stewart House Racing, Matthew Mayer from CBS Sports for joining us this week. Tony, who do we got next week?
From Fox Sports, Matt Yoakum. And this one, Brandon snuck in on me because I've been wanting Matt on the show for a long time. So thank you for the early Christmas present.
You're welcome. I deliver. So, Tony, real quick, let's just run down. So next week, episode number 49, we're going to have Matt Yoakum on, and we'll do some other fun stuff, recap some stuff. Maybe we'll do an end-of-the-season lucky dog lap down picks or something like that. And then the following week, week number 50, we're going to do our award show.
That should be really fun.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
We might, maybe get a couple people call in for
that's
that one.
That's a good possibility. I think we can work something out.
Yep.
And then we'll start doing like some best of shows. Maybe we'll throw a few minutes of new stuff in there if we figure out the fantasy league, something like that. And I know PETM, we're going to do something with them during the off season. So we're going to play some best of shows. You're not going to get your full hour and whatever every week.
We're going to try and add some new content.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to we've got some exciting things.
We do need
things.
A break as well.
Yes, yes. So does Lindsay.
Brandon's got to go reintroduce himself to his wife.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know if I got to re-propose, but.
Yeah. But hey, thanks again for being with us, everybody. Been a great season. We couldn't do this without your support. We appreciate everything, but make sure you tune in each and every week. Otherwise, you will be a lap down.
See ya. Happy Thanksgiving.